Connect with others in the Awaken Therapist community and join us over on Patreon. When you become a member of the Awaken Therapist community, you'll gain access to exclusive teachings, consultations, and resources. Find out more at awakentherapist.com. Recently talking to a therapist who I mentor, and they said to me that if they were to stay client-led, they would be following their client down the path of nowhere. And this really had me thinking about the way therapists relate to the idea of being client-led and what this really means. And I explained to this therapist that being client-led doesn't mean that we're following the client's misbeliefs or meaning-making or stories. It means that we're attuning to something deeper. Being client-led means that we're honoring our client's sovereign will, because any meaningful, lasting change in therapy must arise from within the client, not from our agenda, not from trying to shift our client's perception, but from their sovereign desire to transform. The spark of a client's own longing, what they truly want for themselves, who they're ready to become, is the guide of their transformation, not us. This is what it means to be truly client-led. As therapists, one of the most sacred responsibilities we hold is to recognize and honor a client's desire, not as something to interpret or redirect, but as a pure expression of their sovereign will. It's from this place that all meaningful and lasting healing happens. And while it's true that some clients have a relationship to their desire that is an expression of their unfinished business from the past or their personality habits, some clients don't even know what it is that they really want. Other clients only want what they want. Other clients want other people to be different. But when we're talking about sovereign desire, we're talking about who the client wants to become, who they want to be in the world, what part of their pattern do they want to transform. And if I don't follow that as the guide to their therapeutic process, then I'm imposing my will. And when a therapist imposes our will, even subtly, we disrupt the conditions for deep transformation. That kind of healing doesn't come through control, it comes through trust and reverence in the organic unfolding of the inherent intelligence of the client themselves. So, when I speak of sovereign will, I'm referring to the innate, unconditioned essence within each of us that knows how to heal, evolve, and return to alignment. It's not shaped by external expectations or social conditioning. Rather, it's the pure expression of our inner authority, the spiritual intelligence that guides us from within. Sovereign will refers to the self-directed, uncoerced inner capacity to choose, to discern, and to align with what is most true. It's rooted in presence and agency, not performance or rebellion. It doesn't demand change, it allows change to emerge from essence. To meet a client in this sacred space, we as therapists must be anchored in awake awareness. Awake awareness is the infinite, liberated quality of the essential self, the consciousness that can witness without judgment, stay open in the presence of suffering, and hold space with clarity and care. It's the part of us that knows how to remain connected to love and truth, even in the face of pain or confusion. Awake awareness doesn't prioritize something as good or bad. There's a neutral quality of welcoming everything that is. The state of awake awareness is how we see through the conditioned patterns, ours and the client's, and stay attuned to the deeper truth beneath the noise. Without it, we may subtly fall into power dynamics, trying to shift or reframe the client's experience based on our own beliefs or ideals. And that's where even well-meaning therapists can violate a client's sovereignty. I can think of so many examples when I see this happen where a therapist's well-meaning desire for the client is expressed as trying to offer a different interpretation as opposed to creating the therapeutic conditions for the client's sovereign will to find their way through the disruptions that cloak their connection to their sovereignty. So much of therapy has historically centered the therapist as expert. And yes, we've studied, we understand systems and nervous system regulation, personality structures, and how healing happens. But that conceptual knowing doesn't guarantee deep and lasting transformation for the client, because healing doesn't come from fixing someone. It arises from presence, from reverence, from contact, from trust in the client's unfolding intelligence. Internalized shoulds, the beliefs a client has absorbed about who they need to be, often conflict with their sovereign truth. This part of staying client-led means listening for what is most true beneath the performance, beneath the rebellion, beneath the survival strategies. When we try to change a client's perception or experience to get them to see something or get them to be different, we're violating sovereignty. Even when it's well-intentioned, it can become just another version of control. When we truly honor our clients, we're affirming that their soul knows what they need in order to heal, and that their inner knowing holds the map for them to find their way back home to themselves. We're also communicating something essential. We're letting our clients know, I'm not here to fix you. I don't think there's anything wrong with you. I think your patterns are adaptive and wise, and I'm here to create the conditions necessary for you to find your way through your pain, through your suffering, and back to the truth of who you are. When we honor a client's sovereign will, we are trusting that they have an inner compass, that their healing unfolds from within, not from our ideas of what should happen, and that their yes or no matters and must be honored as sacred. In this sense, sovereign will is not about control, it's about inner freedom. It's the power to move, choose, speak, or stay still from the deepest knowing of who we are. When we meet a client at the contact boundary without imposing our ideas, our perceptions, our desire as truth or the solution, we actually co-create a sacred field where a client can contact what's alive in them and reclaim their sovereignty, not as an abstract concept, but as a felt, lived truth, an expression of their life force. When we meet clients exactly as they are and offer them an accurate mirror of reflection, they're given the opportunity to come home to themselves, not through striving or efforting, not by figuring out, but through awake awareness. In contrast, many traditional models of psychotherapy subtly reinforce the idea that healing comes from outside the client. The therapist becomes the expert, the problem solver, the one with the answers. And even when these approaches say they're client-led, they often end up following the client's conditioned mind, the part that's shaped by trauma, habits, and outdated beliefs, which, from that version of being client-led, makes sense that a therapist would think that they need to change the client because they aren't following the client's sovereign will, they're following the client's misbeliefs. But being truly client-led is something entirely different. It's not about following the conditioned self, it's about attuning to the client's present moment expression, bringing more awareness to their thoughts, emotions, and sensations, not from ordinary consciousness, but from awake awareness. When we hold space from this awake awareness and invite clients' awake awareness to their inner world, they begin to navigate their inner experience from a place of clarity and trust. They start to access the truth beneath the noise of the mind, the soul's blueprint, the divine architecture that holds the imprint of who they really are. Our task is to see the client as clearly and accurately as possible from our own awake awareness, to see their wholeness, their sovereignty, as well as their misbeliefs, introjections, projections, and personality habits that keep them from contacting themselves and the world from their essential self. This is not about changing the client into who they think they should be. It's about inviting the client to be who they actually are. It's about helping them wake up to the parts of themselves that don't align with their truth and resolve the unfinished business that keep them from living in alignment. This is the essence of Gestalt Therapy's paradoxical theory of change, which asserts that change occurs when a person becomes more deeply who they are, not when they try to become something they're not. In other words, healing doesn't happen by striving to be different. Healing happens through full presence with what already is. So instead of asking, how do I fix this? We ask, how can I meet my client exactly as they are? How can I bring awareness to their present moment expression in the most welcoming, non-judgmental, non-violent way? This season, I've been offering demos to show what this looks like in real time, how transformation unfolds organically when the client is met as they are and their sovereignty is followed. In episode 7 of season 3, I sat with a volunteer whose long-standing pattern of self-abandonment showed up as overcare for others, retreating into thought, and ignoring their own pain. While I didn't know their personal history, I was tracking how contact with self and the environment was disrupted. So I invited their awake awareness to the thoughts, and I invited them to gently drop into their sensations and their emotions. And each intervention was designed to affirm to the client, I see you as you are, and I welcome you as you are. And I trust that you know how to find your way through this. When I asked the client what they wanted for themselves, they paused and said, I want to feel free. That desire came from their sovereign self, not from trauma, not from approval seeking or habit, but from the truth of who they are. Because self-abandonment lived in the attachment system, I invited the client to bring their attention to their younger self. At first, this client couldn't see their inner young one, so we began with what was true. I invited the client to say to their inner young one, I see that you feel invisible. Honoring this invisibility became the portal to deep transformation and resolving of unfinished business. At the end of the session, I asked the volunteer what is true now, and they said, I have choice. And that's the moment of sovereignty, the return to freedom that they had longed for all along. Now, if I was imposing my ideas onto the client, I would have just told them that from the beginning. Well, you have a choice. You don't need to abandon yourself. You can just honor your feelings. But imposing my ideas and my will isn't a therapeutic process. It doesn't offer the conditions necessary for deep transformation. Because when we honor the client's pace, we reflect their patterns with compassion. We attune to their inner signals with clarity. We offer something radically different. We offer a space for the client to reconnect with themselves and their inner authority, and that changes everything. And so I want to highlight here that being client-led is not passive. Honoring a client's sovereign will is not passive. It's a highly attuned, deeply respectful, moment-to-moment collaboration that is trauma-informed, that restores that inner authority that their patterns pull them away from. When we do this, the paradoxical theory of change comes alive. Clients don't need to be pushed into healing, they're welcomed into their truth. And that's where deep transformation unfolds organically, not because we made it happen, but because we created the space where healing could arise on its own. And so the last thing I want to say about being client-led is that there's a big difference between holding an agenda and having a therapeutic desire for your client. If we have an agenda, we're trying to lead our client somewhere that we think they should go, and we cross over the sacred boundary. We impose our will onto their healing process, and in doing so, we risk replicating the very misattunement that the client is trying to heal. But when we notice a desire arise in ourselves and we name it transparently, it becomes a moment of authentic contact. Because let's face it, we want things for our client. We want good things for our client. And typically, this is where the suggestions and the rearranging and interpreting of ideas come from, that genuine desire for our clients to feel good in the world and to transform the patterns that cause them distress. And so, if we notice a therapeutic desire arise in us, we can simply share it from authentic engagement. We might say, as I'm listening to you, I notice that I want to support you in creating clearer boundaries. What do you notice when I say that? They might respond by saying, yes, definitely. Or they might say, I'm not sure, tell me more. Or they might say, no, I think I want something else. Their response is welcome, whatever it is, because their sovereignty is the guide. However, we're not passive. Our presence matters. And when we're in the dialogic relationship, in the authentic engagement of the present moment, here and now, and we share what it is that we want to support the client in, we're meeting them at the contact boundary. And this moment of relationship can actually spark their sovereign will so that they become even more clear on what they want. It's a really beautiful offering to our clients. So, yes, we do direct, especially in experiments, but we do so by following the client's energy, attuning to their inner truth, and co-creating a path forward. Being client-led means we're in deep collaboration, listening for what's emerging from within the client, not imposing what we think should happen. So, as we close, I want to invite you to reflect on what it means to truly trust your client's sovereign will and to be really honest with yourself about anything within you that disrupts that deep trust in your client's inner authority. What happens when you set down the impulse to guide or fix or interpret and instead attune to the wisdom already unfolding from within the client? Being client-led is not about stepping back. It's about leading with reverence and connection. It's about holding space with such clarity and humility that the client can hear the voice of their inner self more clearly. This is the sacred art of therapy, not directing the client's path, but honoring the one they're already walking. To hear full demos of this work, check us out on Patreon. The full unedited sessions are posted there. You can find out more at awakentherapist.com. If you found this episode meaningful and want to deepen into the practices of transpersonal counseling, check out our trainings at awakentherapist.com. We have live, online, and go-at-your-own-pace offerings that are designed to empower you to unlock the magic of psychotherapy. Thank you for continuing to learn the art of creating a truly sacred healing space for your clients.